Very good. So, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, wherever in the world you happen to be right now. This is Ajahn Brahm giving another little talk and guided meditation. And on Tuesday, the 11th of May, that's where I am. And also, I do apologize for last week's talk, a meditation. We're just getting into the meditation. Just really just getting peaceful and about to get blissed out. But then the electricity supply stopped and we were disconnected for I don't know how many hours. I reckon it was that Mara who interfered and stopped many people getting enlightened. But today, today I'm sure that the power will be on and everything will run smoothly, perhaps. Because the future is always uncertain. And the thing is, we can't control the future. We have just to adapt to what happens and to make the best of it. And I know that I've often reflected on the times when things were going so well in my life, and when I was fit and healthy and happy and living with really great teachers like in Ajahn Chah and Ajahn Tate. And these monks would really inspire me and give me so much happiness inside. And it's true, and even the Buddha said it, when the mind is happy and inspired, it's so easy to meditate. But you can't have that every day. Recently, I was handing out a little book which the disciples over in Indonesia, the Ehi Pasako Foundation, they managed to put together and print in English and in Indonesian. And it's called Happy Every Day. And some people ask me, how can you be happy every day? And of course the joke was, well, it's only happy every day. At night time you can be miserable. But no, I meant it's happy every day, 24 hours. And how can you do that? And the answer is that when life is difficult, when it's suffering, when it doesn't go the way you want it to, when it's problems, difficulties, and even physical pain, then you're happy to have that misery. You embrace everything in life, not just the beautiful side, but even the problematic side. The happy times of our life is where we can relax, rest, and enjoy. We enjoy all the good karma which we have created. And when it gets difficult, that's the time to roll up our sleeves, as they say, and get to work making more good karma. So whether it's, say, having a happy time or an unhappy time, there's always something we can do. And it reminded me as I was walking in here to give this talk and meditation today, that even when there is suffering, the Buddha said, even when there is suffering, dukkha, that can be a cause for deep meditation, for insight and even enlightenment. If you're having a very difficult time in your life and nothing seems to be going well, and there's always problems and you're not being appreciated and people being critical of you and things aren't going well and you may even be sick and even hospitalized, that is just your body. The body is sick. But it never means that the mind has to be sick. It's bodily suffering. And we can add to that with our emotional suffering. I don't want this. Why does this happen to me? Why is it always me that has to endure all this? People always think like that. But when there is that degree of suffering, obviously, if there's something one can do to alleviate it, to lessen it, fine. But sometimes you get to these points, there's nothing really we can do. We're in a difficult situation. And it's that old simile, which just, I didn't intend to say this simile, but here it comes, of that gentleman who was a fellow school teacher when I taught children. And he said he was in the British Army during the Second World War. In Burma, just a small group of soldiers and are surrounded by enemy soldiers. Totally surrounded, totally outnumbered. And it was a war. And what did his captain order him to do? With the rest of the soldiers, only six or seven of them, facing hundreds and hundreds of heavily armed enemy troops. The captain said, "Sit down. We won't try to escape. Sit down and have a cup of tea." The British Army, cup of tea. Well worthwhile, well worth trying. And while they were having their cup of tea, just relaxing, making no noise, not confronting the enemy, one of the scouts came back and said, "There's a way through. I found an escape route." And of course, they all escaped. That's why he could tell me the story. That's a wonderful little method when there's suffering all around you, when there's no possibility, no hope. It's either being captured and put in sort of prisoner of war camps, which were very, very harsh, or dying. But that third option, his captain realized, was to sit down and do nothing, to relax and make peace and be still. And that's one of the reasons why, when life is suffering in so many different areas of our life, it can be an encouragement. There's nothing else to do. Be reasonable, be logical, except just to sit down and close your eyes and be in this moment. In this moment, there's not a problem. Because all problems and difficulties, they're all about the past, your experience, unpleasant experiences, or they're about worry for the future. And sometimes you look at that future and there's no solution. So why worry when worry doesn't perform any function, when it does not help you at all? If worrying can find a solution, then it may have some purpose. But most of the time, worrying just tires you out, it drains you of all your energy, makes you negative, and solutions just cannot be found. So we come into the present moment, come into the now. Meditate. When we're experiencing suffering, when there's nothing we can do, when all things are going wrong, when our life is falling apart, that's one of the best times to sit down and just be here. And you'll find amazing solutions arise. A lot of times it's like when I'm trying to think of somebody's name. The harder I try and think of the name, the longer it takes me to remember it. When I just really relax, then the name just pops up. Solutions, when you worry and you try and find them, you try and force them, they are never found. But when you are still and peaceful, the solutions come to you. And they're good solutions as well. It's one of the reasons why, when there is suffering and difficulties and things which I have to solve in my life, in the monastery, or in other people, and my disciples, and all the other things I get involved with in my life as a senior monk, when there's ever any problems there, and I look at them and I can't find a solution, I put them aside and meditate. And after the meditation, it's amazing just how many solutions come up. And they're good ones too, workable. So I use that meditation even when I don't have much suffering in life, to be honest. But when there is any type of suffering, I encourage people, don't think about it. Don't worry about it. Don't complain about it and blame others. Just put it aside for a while and go for refuge inside. In the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, go for refuge in silence, in peace, in stillness. And in that refuge, you find no matter what suffering you have, you can always find some peace, some freedom, some wisdom, which is one of the reasons why that any time you have difficulty, instead of trying to get rid of the difficulty, instead of trying to escape from it, maybe try and find a third option. just going inside, being peaceful, being still. And so this is the way that we can meditate, learning just how to let go of the world outside with economic problems, with health problems, with disharmony problems. That all lives in the world outside. It's not rejecting its existence, but it's putting it in perspective. And then we go to our world inside, where we can, with a little bit of training, find so much peace and freedom and happiness. And oh, I'm sorry, I keep on repeating my own personal stories. But that time, so many years ago, in Thailand, it must have been about 44 years ago now, when I had a scrub typhus, about 3 or 4 weeks of fever, nothing was working to try and heal me, and feeling so weak, no energy at all, the whole body aching, and then another attack of fever. I decided, instead of complaining, instead of just enduring, to go inside and meditate. And I found you could do that. You go deep inside your mind to where you could not feel your body. And that was just so blissful. And it showed me that even when outside is suffering, the mind doesn't need to suffer. The mind can be blissed out. So much freedom, so much peace. So that's what we learn. We learn these other ways of dealing with problems. And it was a suffering which motivated me, which almost like forced me. There was nothing else to do. There was nowhere else to go. So you had to go inside. What a wonderful thing that was. So anyway, this is why that when you are suffering, don't complain. It's another opportunity. It's a motivation, incentive to get in here and meditate. Become still. So, now let's do the meditation. So if you like to sit down on a seat, lay down on your bed, or whatever your posture is, at least so you're comfortable. And if you are ill or sick in hospital, if you are depressed because things aren't going well in your life, if you are really old and tired or grieving someone who's passed away, close your eyes anyway. When you close your eyes, don't let your mind wander off to the past, because that's where the suffering is. Sometimes I remember going barefoot through the jungle paths in Thailand, because I didn't have any sandals. And sometimes you would see where the ants lived. You would never walk on the paths where the ants were, because they would bite you and they would sting and it was very painful. You'd always find other paths where there were no ants. So you don't go to those past moments where the suffering lies, where all those experiences in the past bite you and cause you suffering. You leave those areas alone. You go another way. And that other way is the present moment, just now. Just being here, instead of being in the past. It's a training, it's something we learn, but it's something worth learning. It's things you learn at school or university you forget over the years. For the way to meditate and come in the present moment, you never forget. You'll be able to do that even at your last days, no matter how old you are. So in this moment, you can feel your body sitting here. How are your legs? This is my usual practice, which many of you would know by now if you've heard me before. I just ask my legs, like I'm greeting them. How are you, legs? Good morning to you. Are you comfortable sitting there? Because when I ask a question, it's like paying attention. And I listen, I can feel my legs. And they tell me they're pretty comfortable this morning. If the answer was that they were uncomfortable, of course I would move them straight away. Then I ask my butt, how are you? Last Saturday I was a little bit too confident and I put my bottom in an uncomfortable position. The beginning of the meditation which I taught in our Nolamara temple, Dhammaloka. And I had to move in the middle of the meditation because it was really painful. So I learn from mistakes. I become better at being aware of my posture. And in my back, give it a good stretch, really aware of the feelings in my back and making sure they're comfy. It's at ease, it's a position I can hold comfortably for the whole meditation period. Then I become aware of my shoulders. Feel them, how are your shoulders? And every time I'm not quite sure why, they're always a bit tense when I first look at them. So I have to pay some kindfulness to them. Aware and kind. And loosen all those muscles. When I say I focus on them, it's like zooming in. The only simile is like Google Earth. You zoom in to a location. Everything outside that location just fades away, falls off the screen. So when I focus on my shoulders, everything else in my body just disappears, falls off the screen. So focus just on this one thing. Get to know my shoulder muscles and get to know how to relax them. And they feel relaxed now. Simple learning. And go down my arms, past my elbows, wrists, and my hands. It's in a bit of a sloppy position right now. I never noticed that until I looked. So now I adjust the position of my hands. Now they feel really comfy. Back up to my neck, making sure that's comfortable. Already I'm starting to feel good about this. Body's really relaxing, feeling sort of strong. Making sure the throat is relaxed because of hay fever problems. The irritation in my throat is just softened. Just with the attention, together with care. And up to my face, noticing the facial muscles, especially around the eyes and the mouth, maybe a bit of the forehead as well. I feel the forehead muscles a bit tight a moment ago. And I relax them. How do you relax them? It's what you learn, because the mindfulness gives you feedback. I'm mindful now, mindful the next moment. I see the change. I learn by trial and error how to relax muscles in my face, to relax the muscles around my eyes, and how to ease the muscles around my mouth. When they do relax, they usually turn up on the edges, a little smile. It's a great posture to start the meditation with. And somebody once asked me, what's the most important part of your physical posture? I said the smile. Not the position of the legs, or the position of the hands, or the position of the back, but your smile. And all this time you've been doing this body awareness, you may have noticed that you were in the present moment. because physical sensations only exist now. It's a skillful means to bring your attention into the here and now. And how peaceful does it feel? And then I become aware of my whole body sitting here, unified, not parts anymore, but this whole body, from toes to the tip of the head. Really relaxed. It feels good. Present moment, in a relaxed body, feels so much more enticing than thinking about the problems in the past. All the things I would have to do afterwards. This is my home. This is where I can relax and rest. Right here. The pain of the past, the fear of the future, that all inspires me to leave them alone and come into this moment. Motivation. In this moment, I look at my peaceometer. It's already just pretty peaceful in there. A number from 1 to 10, 1 being really peaceful, 10 being agitated. You can turn it around, do it the other way if you want, but that's how I prefer it. 1 makes my mind more peaceful. Thinking about the past, worrying about the future just disturbs the mind. It's not what we should be doing right now. You want to find solutions? Come in the present moment, where you can rest. Energize your mindfulness. And reset the focus. So when you come out, the mind will be more able to innovate with clarity and power. So come into this moment with my peaceometer. You may realize that you're in this moment, but you have a commentary going on. The internal, not dialogue, but monologue. Talking to yourself. Giving yourself instructions. Giving these moments names. See if you can stop doing that. Just know this moment as it is, without giving it a name, or a title, or a good-bad measurement. Just let this moment be, without a name, without a judgment. It passes by quickly enough anyway. You just hear in silence in this moment. Feels great. The more you develop this present moment awareness and silence with kindness, the more joy comes into your mind. That happiness is mental energy. You're recharging your inner batteries, which were so worn out by worrying about the problems in your past or thinking how you can deal with your future. You're tired. In this moment, the mind recharges, becomes alive, happy, but poised in this moment. Many people can become aware of their breathing now if they've done breath meditation before. If you don't become aware of your breath, fine, just enjoy the happiness of this moment. And the bliss of silence. Or if the breath comes, just watching the breath come in, watching the breath go out. Peaceful. As if you're on holiday from your problems and concerns. You have your inner monastery, your inner retreat center, your inner temple inside whenever you learn how to meditate this way. And now just going to be quiet for about 3 or 4 minutes. Just to let you go even deeper into this meditation silence. Enjoying the peacefulness. Going deep inside. Your life might be like a storm, but this path teaches you to go into the eye of the storm. The middle, where there's no wind, no rain, no cold, just contentment, being at ease. How do you feel? How's your body? How relaxed is it? If you can feel it at all. Now come back to your body. Thank it for letting you meditate. Go back to your face and make sure that smile is still there. Maybe increase it. And as the smile is strong, then open your eyes. So when you come out of meditation, you bring the happiness, the peace, out into this world. Sadhu. 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 Sadhu means awesome. Awesome peace, awesome stillness, awesome happiness, awesome meditation. And you'll find that afterwards, if there's a problem which you just left behind before you meditated, you start to find solutions, different ways of looking. Stronger mind. That's one of the reasons why meditation leads to wisdom. All the best to you. See you next week. Bye.